Hey y'all, it's the lusty month of May, and I know you lust after our guest and have for years. It's Andrew Keenan Bolger. Can you believe you're gonna love this episode? And while you're feeling lusty and generous and obsessed, you're also gonna wanna go to our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast. That's our bonus content platform where we have our Drama Plus. So Drama Plus gives you access to our close friends, which is Lusty, and gives you extra episodes of Drama every single month. So head over to become a member of Drama Plus at patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you spend $5. I guarantee you that's cheaper than your favorite OnlyFans subscription, and support the pod. Thank you again. If you love, 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 love it even more, please rate us 5 stars, leave us an amazing review on Apple, on Spotify, et cetera, and share it with your friends. We love you so much, and now enjoy the show. Press play, curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
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 Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love.
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
There's something I really wanted to talk to you about because I realized we haven't really covered it on the pod over the last few months, but my obsession, I mean, for years, this has been my obsession, but on Bravo this year is Summer House.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's so good, but it is giving. And I think it's its seventh season, maybe it's eighth. Isn't it
Yeah.
amazing?
Yes, I agree. And you know what I love about it is it feels like adults that are kind of like around our age. I mean, like the oldest people are like a little bit over 40. And so like they're dealing with similar problems, work and play balance, things like that, that I feel like I actually relate to. Whereas a lot of times on Bravo shows, it's people, you know, a lot of the women on Housewives are like in their 50s, you know, even like Ramona, you know, they're a little bit older and stuff like that. And so
Ramona's almost 70.
that's crazy.
I guess she's not on anymore, but
The
yeah.
work is good. Yeah.
No, I know, it's so fun. It's like less wish fulfillment-y and more like, oh, they're also hustling and trying to find jobs and
Right.
dating or whatever, all that stuff. But it is so good. I'm going to this Page 6 event at Chelsea Table and Stage in a few weeks, and it's gonna have some Bravo celebrities there, and West and Jesse
Oh,
will be.
I was hoping I think that they're part of why this season is so good.
Oh my God, casting some fuckboys was the perfect thing for Summer House.
Who
Nice
are actually
fuckboys.
hot as well and have
Oh,
personalities.
Dylan, I have to meet them at the
You
show. I
will.
mean,
You
they're not going
will.
to care if I live or die. Let's
You
just
have a
say
long history of meeting Summer House cast members in the wild, so.
in the wild. I know, so true, so true. I'm so excited. But y'all, if you're not watching Summer House, you have to. You can honestly jump in at this season.
Yeah,
Like
it's so
it's.
fun. If you want a little mindless summer fun.
I know people who just started watching this year, and they have like all this catch up to do. Like they don't know Carl's past. They don't know what Lindsay used to be like. All that stuff, all the context. So,
Oh, I want to say on that note, I sadly think I'm Team Lindsay, which I never thought I would be again after what happened earlier this season. But if you know, you know.
I love that they keep us guessing with where we, you know, our alliances fall. It's really, really incredible
I know.
television production. But okay, done. Summer House, something I'm obsessed with. Something else we've always been obsessed with is today's guest.
I know. And I was thinking, like, when did he come into our lives? And I think it was when the Mary Poppins tour came through Cleveland in like 2006, seven, eight, something like that.
I feel like it was YouTube era, like
Totally.
submissions only vibes.
Absolutely. And I feel like our guest, he was like ahead of the curve with social media. And so a lot of people were like following on Twitter, YouTube, of course. And then, you know,
Blogging, OG
Instagram was a
influencer.
while away. Yeah, an OG
An
influencer.
influencer back when they were called bloggers. Let's be real.
Absolutely. And it still remains part of his moniker on
I
his
love
handle.
that. Well, it should. It should, because an OG for real. Dylan, do you want to read the introduction
I would be
today?
honored.
Oh my God.
Our guest today is an actor, director, author, filmmaker, influencer, and currently stars in Scarlet Dreams at the Greenwich Playhouse off Broadway. He has made a name for himself on stage and off while establishing an incredible, positive, and trend-setting social media presence. On Broadway, you'll know him from originating the roles of Jesse in Tuck Everlasting and Crutchy in Newsies, of which he also starred in the filmed version. Other Broadway roles and national tours include Seussical, Beauty and the Beast, Mary Poppins, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, A Christmas Carol, and Ragtime. You'll recognize him from Dracula, A Comedy of Terrors, Seven Deadly Sins, Family Furniture, Ever After, and more. On television, he's made very memorable appearances in Looking, The Other Two, The Undoing, The Blacklist, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and so much more. Along with collaborator Kate Weatherhead, he is the co-creator of the critically acclaimed web series Submissions Only and co-author of the children's series Jack and Louisa. His work has been profiled in the New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, Entertainment Weekly, Rolling Stone, People Magazine, The Associated Press, New York Magazine, and now Drama with Connor and Dylan McDowell. Please welcome to Drama, Andrew Keenan Bolger.
Oh, hey, Connor and Dylan. It's good to be here.
Hey, Andrew.
The pleasure's all ours.
Welcome to Drama.
Can I say, I just love so much that y'all are siblings and still working together. I, as someone who is very, very close with my sisters, they're literally my best friends. It is like a magical thing when your sibling shares like a passion with you, and especially that y'all get to work with each other as often as you do. That's just, it warms my little heart.
Oh my gosh, I love to hear that. Yeah, you know, it's brought us closer. It gives us reason to talk every day, you know?
Especially as our lives have like diverged post-college, you know? That's so true. I love how close you are with your sisters. I've always loved that.
I know. I remember when your sister Celia did a podcast like a couple years ago, I remember the three of you were all on an episode together and it was really sweet.
Yeah, I feel so, so lucky. I know that a lot of people have complicated relationships with their siblings. And I think people are often, they often ask us, they're like, are you ever like jealous of your sibling? Or like, is it hard to be like sometimes competitive with them? And like, no one ever accepts my answer that like, absolutely not. I cannot fathom a universe where I would be anything but like the number one greatest cheerleader for my siblings. And I think that is actually a lucky thing because
totally.
I know that's not always the case. Family's hard.
It is. We actually, you know, Connor and I even have this problem where we'll get like guilty if we do better in something than the other one. We'll be like, oh, I feel bad that Connor hasn't also achieved this level of something. You know what I mean?
That's tough. I should talk
classic
to my therapist
Midwest.
About that.
Yeah, that's the honestly, Midwestern in us.
It is.
Yeah. You're right. I know. Oh my God. Andrew, I feel like there's so many things we need to discuss. But before we jump in, I guess I'll ask you the first thing we usually ask all of our guests. Are you well?
It's funny you should ask that because usually I feel like I'm doing pretty well. My body is hurting me in a way that I've never experienced as an adult before. I mean, long story short, the show that I'm doing right now, Scarlet Dreams, which is a play about like fitness and technology. I've spent the past like 3 months like really trying to get in shape for it. My character has an exercise addiction, which I feel like that translates to Andrew Keenan Bolger also needing to develop a slightly healthier version of that. But like,
yes, not full method. Yeah,
definitely. I was like, I want to be in good shape. I feel like that tells a more interesting story. But last week just really hurt myself during the show. And I had to call out for some shows, which I have not done in 12 years. I've never like been out sick since I counted. It was like since 2012. And
wow,
that has like taken a bit of toll on my brain, just being like trying to take care of myself, but also like the perfectionist in me wants to be like the company man and like really show up and like try and just push myself. And now the self in me that is approaching 40 is like, no, take care of your body. You're not actually helping anyone if you like destroy your body and then are not able to like do the show in the future. So I am well-ish, like 80% well, maybe.
Oh, I'm so sorry that happened. Back pain is the worst. Dylan and I have both like,
oh my God,
screwed up our backs in different ways. And I was in PT for like months over it. Just, and then I was nervous to get back into things. I'm impressed that you got back in after like a week. What did you do? Like just stretch out for a week straight?
I've been lucky. We have like an amazing company manager. Shout out to Inzinga if you're listening. But she was like very much in like, you need to take care of yourself. All of your health comes first. She set up a bunch of like PT for me. And then our director brought our choreographer back in. I do this like weird, crazy workout / like jazzercise routine at the beginning of the show. And she was generous enough to like re-choreograph parts of it that were really high impact on my back. So if you see it now, you probably won't actually notice the difference, but There's a few less strenuous exercises that I now have to do in the show, which is very nice.
Wow. When the injury happened, did you just finish that show or did you call it like leave mid-show?
So my character doesn't leave the stage except to do like, I do like 8 super fast quick changes that are all like under 20 seconds. My first time I left stage, I was like, I threw out my back. I'm going to keep going. But yeah. And then I wonder if anyone in the audience was like, what is going on with that actor? Because I don't remember any of it. It was like true muscle memory mixed with adrenaline just kicked in and like carried me across the finish line. But then like, as soon as I got off stage, I like collapsed onto the ground. And I was like, I think I'm going to be calling out tomorrow and probably the day after that.
And your understudy's like, okay, great.
He's like, we really just opened. I've had 2 rehearsals, right. But luckily my understudy is amazing. Shout out to Robbie. And there is a lot of dialogue in the show and a lot of it is like tech stuff. And he like right to the task, jumped in at a moment's notice. And even my dad came and saw the show. He had tickets and I was like, I'm not in it. He's like, I'll still see it anyway. And he was like, your understudy Robbie was very good.
Oh.
I'm like, okay, I really kind of wanted you to be like, no one could replace you. But right. He was like, no, he was very good at acting.
Come on, Dad.
Okay, thanks, Dad.
That's so funny.
I mean, from what I've seen and read about the show, it does seem like there's a lot of different elements that are coming together. And it feels like a play that was very much written for 2024, you know, our modern era, which I always love. And then we can look back and be like, oh, that was where we were at with AI and things like that. I'm kind of curious, like, do you mind kind of telling us a little bit about the show and the character that you play?
Yeah, absolutely. So I play Kevin, who is a sort of down on his luck playwright. He had some success about like 7 years ago, but has sort of just like really lost a zest for life. And a new piece of technology, the OmniVision, which is kind of equatable to like the new Apple Vision Pro, is introduced. And it comes to him as like this kind of groundbreaking technology. And through it, he kind of like forms a parasocial relationship with his fitness trainer, who is like a VR fitness trainer.
Is that Scarlett Dreams?
Scarlett herself, yeah.
Oh, wait.
And so the show ends up being a lot about like social media, about technology, a lot about artificial intelligence and sort of our relationship with it as artists. It was when I read the play, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this already has a production. Like this must have been written yesterday because it feels like truly plucked out of the headlines. I think especially as like the union strikes have recently happened and we've all in the arts started having these conversations about our responsibility to protect our craft while not feeling like we're being left behind. It's a fascinating show that I think opens up a lot of questions and conversations.
I feel like it's also interesting for you as an actor, Andrew, because like we were saying at the beginning, a lot of us associate you with being this like OG social media personality in addition to being an actor, you know, content creator. So is that, did you kind of see the meta factor of it when you were joining the project?
Oh, I absolutely did. And I think it's honestly one of the reasons I was cast. Asher, our playwright and director, actually, he was like, I know you have a well of knowledge on this and I want to make this experience feel as authentic because oftentimes, especially our show sort of deals with like influencing and like digital representation and like content creation. And I feel like oftentimes I will be watching something and you're like, that is not what it is like. Or like, this is like a insane representation. We had a lot of conversations about that and was just able to add a little bit of authenticity to it and talk about the things that I've struggled with having been someone who has sort of lived the better part of my adult life online and the sort of boundaries that I've crossed that didn't feel comfortable for me that I've had to sort of rein in and how much I've been like willing to share with my audience, I guess. Yeah. So it's all been interesting. I still don't know really where I fall on anything digital. It changes day to day.
Totally.
Things that I feel cool with one moment, the next year I'm like, look back and you're like, oh God, I can't believe I posted that. Or like, wow, I was like really letting people in on that. Like I maybe should have just kept that one to myself. It's all been interesting, but I'm glad that you think that I'm one of the OGs. It truly,
you are.
It was not something I ever did on purpose. Like, I was never like, I'm going to create a brand for myself. It was something, this technology was introduced to us. Like, YouTube came out when I was a sophomore in college, Facebook, same. And it all sort of was like thrust upon us. And I just thought it was a cool way. And noticed that there was not a lot of like theater representation on any of those platforms. And mostly was just doing it to share it with my friends, like at other schools.
Yeah.
Not realizing that it would find a wider audience. And it has been something that has made me so happy.
Yeah. When did you start getting noticed by like brands and stuff to, I mean, how do you feel about the word influencer, first of all? Do you feel like you identify as one?
I mean, I honestly do. It's it's a word that's created by marketing rather than like by people who actually do it. So it has like weird connotations, but I don't know. I really started doing it mostly during the pandemic when my industry obviously was shut down and my like stream of income was kind of wiped off the table. And I've always loved like taking pictures, making video stuff. And luckily I had an agent who literally just reps me for social media. And when our industry shut down, a lot of the traditional advertising and marketing that also got shut down, shoots that had been planned with celebrities were no longer able to happen. Like, people had earmarked all of the spending for ad stuff because there were still products coming out. There were still TV shows coming out, but no way to really market it. And I think it was actually sort of amazing that they turned to people who could do it all by themselves, who didn't require any kind of crew, who didn't need a photographer, who could kind of be their own one-man band. And it was a way to pay my bills during the pandemic, but also something I honestly enjoy. I like looking at a product, looking at a campaign brief and figuring out how to translate it to my audience and to my followers. And yeah, it was fun. It also, honestly, it kept my mind working creatively. Even in like the ad space, there is a creative touch that you need to have your content do well. And it mostly kept me busy and kept me from truly going insane.
Yeah,
I totally respect that. And I think that it's really cool. And I know, like, when someone in the theater community wins, it feels like a win for everyone. Like, seeing you doing like Gillette, you know, razor ads and stuff like that, it's so cool and fun. And like, there's that familiar element as well that it does influence people, you know, they might not have been thinking about it. But I feel like you really were like on the ground floor even long before that with
the color teal, yourself the color there. Teal, especially.
I mean, yeah, your Instagram filter that you like, I will see like normal people, you know, that normal people out in the world using your filter on Instagram. I'll be like, this is just so funny to me. Like, they have no idea like who this guy is.
They don't
like,
know this is
how big of a deal. Yeah. It's so cool.
Yeah. It makes me happy. I feel like my parents, when I was young, they were very much taught me like never stop learning. And I just really took it and ran with it. And I was like, oh, I will teach myself how to code so that I can like upload my own filters to like Instagram. That's like, seems like a good weekend project. Let me learn how to code real quick.
Okay. So Scarlet Dreams, how it's running until the end of May at the Greenwich Playhouse. It okay. Is, well, everyone's got to get their tickets.
You really do. It's a fun one. It's super high tech too, for, especially for an off Broadway production. There is a lot of production elements that are at play in a really, I think, super interesting use of tech in the theater world.
Very cool.
And that's the future. I think we're going to keep seeing more and more cool stuff like that. I mean, like the sort of stuff that Jamie Lloyd does with all of his productions with video, and like, we'll probably see with Sunset Boulevard when it transfers this year, you know, like,
I'm so excited.
It's the way things are going.
I know. Are you a Nicole Scherzinger fan?
I am. Yes. Not as big as my husband. The year, it was like the pandemic year. It was the year when like all of those amazing albums came out, like Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia, like Jessie Ware's album, Gaga's album. And I was so excited to look at what my like Spotify Wrapped was going to be that year. And I was like, what's my number one song going to be? Like, and then I checked, and my husband, who shared my account with me, it was the Pussycat Doll song React.
Yes.
That came out right before the world shut
down.
Wait,
what? He was like, I'm sorry, it's a great song.
Oh, he had
Andrew, they were poised for a massive comeback, and the pandemic did take that away from us. You know, all it did give us time and other things. Have you seen that music video?
I know, I was gonna say, have you seen the music video?
I have. I mean, it's amazing. Oh. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
Oh my God. Nicole Scherzinger, she's a true showwoman, show person. She's amazing.
I cannot wait. Mm-hmm. She is, there are so many bootlegs on my TikTok algorithm of her just like skrelting for the gods. I can't wait.
Have you given any thought to who the alternate Norma will be on, you know, her one day off? Because, you know, it was Rachel Tucker in the West End, but I don't think Rachel's coming to Broadway. So Dylan and I were talking about this, anyone. Like, who would be cool?
Someone with an alphabet on their resume, I feel like, is who they're going to look at.
I think, yeah, for sure, for sure.
I want Carmen Cusack.
Oh, she'd be amazing.
I think she'd be cool. Okay, so you mentioned your husband. We have, you know, forgotten the detail here that the character in this play that you're portraying is gay as well, right?
He is, yeah.
And I feel that. Like on stage, I have not gotten to see you play any gay roles over the years. But I'm on TV, yeah, but...
I weirdly haven't, because I feel like I'm gay as hell, but I don't often get cast as gay roles, which is, it feels really nice to just get to do this. And I feel like this character is more me than pretty much anything else I've done. I don't ever have to think about like, how do I say this line? I'm like, I literally am not thinking ever. I'm just reading the lines how I would say them. And that's been really nice.
When did you come out?
I came out, I mean... It was a soft launch in high school. I guess I came out to my boyfriend at the time.
Okay. At least he knew. That's good.
Yes,
that's good.
I was in a production of Grease in high school, and I was dating the Rizzo, who was like the fiercest belter and an amazing girl.
Were you Duty, Roger?
I was Duty, okay. Yes.
I know fellow Duty when I see one.
Yeah, Dylan slayed those magic changes during our eighth grade production in middle school.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. I feel like I definitely did not. I feel like it was, my voice had really not settled.
It's a tough one, yeah.
All over the place. Yeah, and then I broke up with Rizzo and started dating Danny.
Oh my God.
Started dating the Danny Zuko.
That's juicy. Was that drama at the time or was it a secret?
I think I thought it was a secret in the way that, like, when you're having a showmance, you're like, no one knows that right now. And I'm sure it was, like, painfully obvious to everyone. They're like, uh-huh, sure.
Aw. Was he, like, openly gay at the time?
No, I don't think either of us were.
Neither of you were.
Oh, yeah. Wow. And then, obviously, you went on to go to Michigan, and everything was open and free. And
yes. Okay, yeah, that was... It was like going around the circle and all of us being like, who's gay?
Uh-huh, and classic.
And I was like, oh, what do I say? Because I've been like closeted up until this point. And I was like, oh, I'm gay. Yeah. And you're like, oh, that was nice. These people only know me as that now.
Wow. When did you tell your sisters?
I never technically came out to my sisters.
This was a soft launch.
Yeah, it really was. It was like the Christmas after my freshman year in school. And we were like sitting around. My dad had gone to bed and Celia was like, can we just talk about how amazing it is that like I am the only straight Kenan Bolger? And I was like, yeah, so crazy.
She's so warm. I could see that just being like her way of, you know, her entry point.
Oh, meanwhile, that's so I think cute. She like met the boy I was dating my like freshman year at a party in New York. And he was like, oh, I'm dating your brother. And she's like, oh, you are. So I never technically had to come out to her.
You didn't overlap at school. Did she? Because she went to Michigan as well, right?
Yeah, she went to Michigan as well, but before my time.
Okay. Okay, wait, we're kind of like talking about childhood and things like that. So I do feel like this is a good entry point. We do like to ask all of our guests about the Ring of Keys moment. In Fun Home, it's about identity as it comes to Allison, you know, being interested in women. But here we talk about it as your interest in being a part of the arts, and it could be a performance or something that, you know, you saw or heard. Do you feel like you had a Ring of Keys moment as a child?
Oh, I totally do. It is like such, when you gave me this question in advance, I'm like, it crystal clear, I knew exactly what it was.
Yes.
So when I was, I guess it was probably like 11, 10 or 11, when the Ragtime concept album came out, which is something that just doesn't get done that much anymore, but they recorded a version of Ragtime before it had ever been staged, and they released it, and I like fell in love with those songs. And I was living in Detroit at the time, and they were doing their Out of Town in Toronto, and my parents decided that we could like take a road trip up to go see Ragtime. And I remember it's all that original cast, like Audra and Brian Stokes Mitchell and
Maron.
Like, the most Maron, amazing, my God. And
Lea Michele.
Literally, Lea Michele, yes.
Wow. You like how you say all these legends, Marin, Audra.
Come
I'm
on.
Like, Lea.
Lest we forget.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in the song New Music came on, and it was so beautiful. And I like remember like crying. And that is not a sad part of the show. There are plenty of sad parts in the show. It's a beautiful part, and it is a part where like the story and the music just like swell and collide in like the most incredible way, as interpreted by like these absolute luminaries. And I just started crying. And it was the first time that I was like, oh, I'm not crying because something is sad. I'm crying because it's beautiful. And it was like the moment where I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna do this for the rest of my life, I think, because like there is some magic in musical theater. And like if I am able to kind of channel this feeling for as long as I can, I wanna do it.
Anytime I hear that little piano riff, that's from New Music, I just
My God,
chills.
so gorgeous. And then I was lucky enough, like the next year, I was cast in it was also so random how they produced that show. We know
I
now it
know.
was like
Yeah,
illegal.
the live end of it all.
Yeah, because I opened there was like an LA, Vancouver, Chicago production, which weirdly opened before Broadway somehow. And so I was in those productions, and also with like star-studded cast, like LaShawn's was our Sarah, Hinton Battle, rest in peace, was our Cole House. And it got to do that show every single night. And it is like truly one of the most formative moments of both, I think, being in that beautiful, like masterpiece of theater and getting to sing Aaron's and Flaherty's music every night, but also being in that cast, I think, as a 12-year-old, which was such an incredibly diverse cast. It was a huge cast. There were like 60 people in it, something that like never happens anymore. And I think being a 12-year-old, being around like a lot of queer adults who were all very self-actualized, and just being like, oh my God, this is a show about empathy. It's a show about resilience and prejudice and like the American experiment. And I do think that that is like a really such a formative piece of theater and just like a formative moment in my life.
Yeah, and so this was before you did ultimately make your Broadway debut as a kid, and that was Seussical, or was that
Beauty and the
Beauty
Beast,
and the
actually.
Beast?
Oh,
Okay.
right. And then wait,
Who
weren't
was your Belle?
yeah.
Oh, such a good one. Carrie Butler.
Oh, great
She was like
one.
a baby Belle, like fresh off of she also made her Broadway debut in that as well.
Wow.
And you were like, oh, this girl is so good, you guys. And
Like
she looks no different. I still see her all the time, and
Andrew,
we're both
you
like
both look no different.
I know it, that is true, actually.
Now, was this at the time when A Change in Me was in the show? Like, does Carrie Butler have a version of A Change in Me?
She does not know. I
Oh,
think I was in it, yeah, predating that.
damn.
okay.
That's
Yeah, the
tough.
Toni Braxton era changed everything. So,
Yeah.
absolutely. So you did Ragtime, then Beauty and the Beast, then Grease.
I actually did. I did Beauty and the Beast first.
All
That
right.
was like my
Okay.
first big thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned
Yeah.
being
Then
this.
Grease, yes.
You mentioned being this little kid around all these queer adults. Were you at the time like thinking maybe you were into boys, like watching the Chorus Boys like shirtless in the dressing rooms, like, oh my God, this is crazy.
1,000% yes. I think like the day that I arrived in New York, that was my like actual ring of keys in terms of if we're talking about like
Yeah.
sexuality. It
Yes.
was like arriving in New York in 1996 when like Times Square was still like peep shows and just
Yeah.
like I remember seeing sex workers on the street and just being like, this is wild. I am definitely gonna kiss a boy real soon. I had to wait a few years, but yeah, and like just being around beautiful gay men. Yeah, it was awesome.
Do you feel like they maybe like looked out for you a little bit
Oh,
backstage and
I
stuff?
think 100%. I always remember there was an incredible man named Glenn Kelly who he later became like a very big deal. He works with Mel Brooks on all of his musicals
Oh,
and like really
yes.
basically arranges and like kind of writes a lot of the music for them. And he was just playing in the pit at the time and knew that I was like such a fucking nerd for musical theater. Like I would make, God bless this ensemble of Beauty and the Beast. I would perform at intermission. Their time off, I had a collection of troll dolls and I would perform musicals with them and make the like adults watch. And I did like Sunny in the Park with George, like the 10-minute version. Just like this little gay boy with his trolls. And I like made a little proscenium, like sets and costumes for the trolls. And this sweet man, Glenn Kelly, like started giving me all these books about like Sondheim and like Martha Swope, the photographer of like Broadway, and like all of these really like incredible texts that I just like completely devoured. That wasn't necessarily related to sexuality, but being a very much like, I know you, like I know this little kid could probably use adult figure in his life who is like helping him explore this passion.
That is so special. Picturing the cast all in costume, you know, watching you during intermission.
Unreal, like the absolute patience. Like now if someone was trying to take away my actual intermission, I'd be like, absolutely no. This is my time.
I'm thinking you had this long, wonderful relationship with Disney then at the same time. And then what was it like, you know, returning to the Disney world for Newsies?
I mean, it was incredible. I remember it was actually, I started doing, I did the national tour of Mary Poppins right after I graduated. And in my audition, in my like final callback, I hear like Tom Schumacher, who is the head of Disney Theatricals, gasp. And he's like, Andrew, you were one of our chips? Yeah, I'm a grown up now. And I mean, Tom Schumacher has been like an incredible, incredible mentor to me, and was honestly the first person who ever paid me to do anything online. He saw the value in me having a social media presence and creating like backstage video blogs, all stuff I was just doing for fun. And he, when we did Newsies, he hired me into the digital marketing team. So I was getting a separate check from Disney Theatricals to like sit in on meetings for like their marketing and then go backstage and shoot like video blogs and like pitch concepts. And it was just an incredible thing, because I think now it feels so obvious that you would like invest in a social media team for when you're starting a show. But really at the time it was kind of unheard of. And I just really like thank him, not only for putting me in a lot of his musicals, but for also encouraging, I think, a new kind of connection with an audience outside of the audience that's just like sitting in the theater, knowing that there is actually incredible power in giving exclusive content to people who might not be able to hop on a plane at the drop of a hat to go shell out a bunch of money to go see a Broadway show.
Yeah. I mean, with Newsies, that audience was hungry for it. And like, I think that you're probably a big reason then why it was able to amass such the fansies, as they're called.
The
fansies,
the best, most unproblematic fan base, like to this day.
You're right.
They still make me so happy.
Their skin is clear. They all straight A's. Like,
they have no debt. They're
so
amazing.
So lucky.
I love that. How long were you in the Broadway version of Newsies?
I did it for a year.
For a year.
Yep.
And then they brought you back for the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so, that never happens. Like, first of all, just recording, but like a chance to get a do-over a couple years later. And I had, since then I had been able to do another Broadway show and had just a different kind of well of experience. And there are always, like, anytime you do a show, you will be like standing in line at Starbucks, like 3 months after it's closed, and you will finally understand what the line reading should have been the whole time. You're like, oh, I missed that comic beat. It was right there. And it was like circling at the entire run. So getting to come back and kind of recreate that role and do all the stuff that, like, after having some time away, I had actually kind of unlocked was so great. And now that it like exists forever and a new audience finds Newsies like every month, it's so nice.
They Toni Braxton change in me freshie. They
yes, you're totally right. Full circle here, folks.
Yeah, yeah. With the letter from the Refuge. Yes, yeah, which that is amazing. Yeah, that's so
was,
cute.
Tuck Everlasting, forgive me for just not knowing your timeline here. I don't know why I'm
I
so
mean,
like all of
y'all are really on it. Come on.
Was Tuck Everlasting was that between your Newsies bookends there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And it was one of those things, Tuck Everlasting closed very soon after it opened, but it meant that I was able to do the film version, which was
Great.
Really nice.
What was that experience of Tuck Everlasting like?
It was honestly, it was a beautiful experience. It was a really long process. I think people think that you audition for a Broadway show and then you're cast and then you open in that Broadway show in a few months. And that is how it happens once in a while. But for the most part, it is like auditioning for a reading, and then you do another reading, and then you do three more readings, and then you do a workshop, and then you do an out of town. And by the time Tuck Everlasting opened on Broadway, I had been playing that role for 6 years and had like seen a million different versions of it and like 15 cut songs. And it was one of those things where I feel like I was able to put so much of my identity into that character because the show had grown up along with me, that even though it closed very soon, I was never like, ah, damn it. I never like got a chance to play that role. Really. I was like, I've been playing this role for a very long time. And then also the fact that like the cast recording is beautifully produced and now it has a huge life regionally and in schools, like there are schools doing that all the time. And that just doesn't often happen with shows that like totally flop. And it makes me really glad that it's had a nice kind of afterlife.
Yeah. And I'm sure it helped that you are ageless. So it really tended to the story of Jesse being, you know, this immortal being.
Yeah. I mean, I turned 30, just like playing a 17-year-old, but also like playing a 200-year-old. So
that's true.
Like
that's
maybe true. I was too young for that part. Who can say?
Now, okay. So I've got to talk to you about looking, which do people ask you about it all the time? I mean, getting topped by Murray Bartlett is a dream every gay man, I think, has had, and you got to do it and then sing Defying Gravity in his shower. I mean, come on.
Who could ask for anything more? Yeah, I would say after Newsies, that's the number one thing I get stopped in like grocery stores for. And it's a very different, I know their face when they're like, oh my God, you were in Newsies, or like, oh my God, am I just about to tell on myself?
Right.
I've seen you be topped by Murray Bartlett and looking. I mean, it was real fun. Those boys in that show were so sweet. I knew Jonathan Groff from the theater world,
right.
And he was such a love. I flew out to San Francisco to shoot that episode. And the night before I had to do my like first dance set, which was also just a sex scene, which I had never even kissed someone on camera before. Jonathan was like, hey, do you and Murray and me want to go out for dinner? Just so like your first time meeting him is like not naked.
Wow.
And so we like went out to dinner the night before. It was like, those boys are true, true loves. And everyone is like, so was it so hot? I'm like, no, not at all. I was so nervous. And it was like so technical. It's like, you're going to do like four, like, pumps, and then like you need to turn and you have to turn this way so like we can't see your balls through your legs. It was like so technical. All of the sexual energy was not in the room.
I can imagine.
Thinking back on it, I'm like, oh man, I was real lucky because he's like ultimate daddy.
I know, but he's had his like moment later, you know what I mean, like the Emmy and stuff like that came a little bit later for him.
Yeah,
but
before he was eating Lucas Gage's ass, he was topping Andrew Kainerberger. That's history. That is true gay history. Do you feel like you'd love to do more TV, like be a regular on a TV show?
I honestly really would. It's something that I've never gotten to do. I've only gotten to do like recurring stuff, and I love television. It's like kind of my favorite art form. I even, my friend and I, Kate Weatherhead, like tried to create our own TV show because no one was casting us in anything. And it's a love that I have. I think it's like a really interesting craft. I love the filmmaking behind it and the kind of like the long storytelling that you get in getting to tell a story throughout a course of a season rather than just in a movie or in a play length.
Did that project go, or is it still in development with that you and Kate were working on?
So it was submissions only. It was we
my
did
God.
It online like more than
that's what
a
you're talking about.
Now.
Yeah. Oh my God,
yeah,
we
yeah.
love submissions only. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yes. Yeah.
Has there ever been thought of bringing it back, or you know, a little? It's reboot era now. Everyone's bringing everything back. You know, these days. Has there ever been any whispers in the creative process?
Yeah. You know what? I'm not actually sure. talked about this. I think I can probably talk about it now. We shot a television pilot for it, like a very expensive, like high-end TV pilot.
Wow.
A couple of years ago, and it was a beautiful pilot. It was my first time getting to direct like a set of 75 people, yeah, and like really work with like a real budget. When meanwhile, our first season was, I think, like $2,000 we made it for. Wow. So yeah, Kate and I, we directed a TV pilot, and unfortunately, it did not get picked up. But they're out there. It, on my hard drive, there is a full-length television pilot for a submissions-only reboot. So,
wow!
If anyone's listening and wants to give it a shot, it does exist.
That would be amazing. And also, I'm sure that, you know, producing a Broadway show is expensive. I'm sure there's big Broadway producers out there that would rather invest in a TV show. So come on,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, lower risk.
Was submissions only happening at the same time as Smash? I'm like suddenly in my head thinking, like, yeah, was there these alternate universes?
Toss. It happened the year before Smash. So,
ooh.
Yeah. Our first season aired, I guess, 2012, I think. And then yeah, Smash was 2013. But it was funny. Like, we were shooting our second season at the same time as Smash. And we're often getting compared to it. And I think we sort of benefited a little bit from it, where there were a lot of think pieces written on, like, Entertainment Weekly and, like, in New York Mag, kind of comparing the two and being like, well, if you don't like Smash and you want to see what theater is really like, tune into Submissions Only. It's honestly, our shows were very different tonally.
Right.
Like, they were definitely leaning more into, like, the kind of, like, soapy, fun, melodrama of it all, like, a little more campy. And
totally,
I felt like ours was, it was a lot less glamorous. It's like what theater really is, which is like happens in these shitty rehearsal rooms and like and not the like sun-drenched beautiful studios that people audition in the
right
Smash. You're like, no, you're in like crappy fluorescent, like you look like death in there, the acoustics are terrible, and like the casting director is asleep. Like, that's like a lot more probably what is going on in the world.
The only similarity is Anne Harada is probably in both. And that's the only... That's the
without question. Oh, there's a lot of crossover of people who are like, well, yeah. Annalee Ashford, I think, plays basically the same character in both.
I was going to say, telling people they're skinny and like being like, oh my God. Literally. You know, like that. That's so funny. And you also did another pilot with Annalee, right? Like that
did,
Three
yeah.
Rivers thing?
It was called Three Rivers. It was, again, there is a pilot out there where Annalee Ashford, Stephanie Stiles, and I play siblings who own a hotel in Dallas, Texas. It was very like Schitt's Creek, but with like theater clowns. And it was very funny. And sadly, it did not get picked up by ABC. But I've never seen the pilot. Yeah. It's somewhere. It was a lot of comedy.
Were you playing a gay character?
I was not playing a gay character in that, no.
They don't love to make you gay.
They don't. Just looking in Scarlet Dreams.
Wait, really quick. I know we're kind of running down on time here, but I'm curious. How did you meet your husband?
I was set up, actually. Oh. It's the one and only time I've ever been set up. Arjenta, actually, this is the name drop. Arjenta is Benj Pasek.
Oh.
Benj, who was my best friend in Michigan, met Scott through one of our mutual friends and invited both of us to Darren Criss's like concert at 54 Below, like super randomly at like 11 p.m. on a Tuesday. I just like happened to be out and I was like, oh yeah, I'll go to this thing. And I met Scott, my husband there. And the first thing he said was like, where am I? This space is so beautiful. I was like, you've never been to 54 Below?
Right.
I was like, I need this guy's number. Like, yeah. I found a good one.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
I've never met anyone who's never been here.
Yeah, he's a civilian.
This is so cool. This happens every night. I was like, oh, I've got myself a muggle.
Right, literally.
Was there like a love spark? Like, did you guys like exchange numbers and stuff that night?
Benj, actually, good old Benj. He connected us after the fact. He like gave both of us each other's number and was like, y'all two should go on a date together.
Aww. Who made the first move then? Did he text you or?
I think I texted him. I was also like slow on the uptake though. Like I think neither of us texted each other for a little bit. And then I was very like, I had just broken up with my boyfriend. I was like,
Oh.
I don't really need to be dating right now. And then Benj was like, yo, text Scott Bixby. He's so cute and smart and has a cool job. Yeah, and then we did, and the rest is history.
Oh my God, when
Oh,
was
so
this? How long have you
cute.
guys been together now?
We've been together for 10 years.
10 years. Well, congrats. A decade
Thank
of love.
you.
That's
It's
so special.
true.
And he's very talented as well.
He is.
Yeah,
He's
he
an
is
incredible
talented.
writer. Yes.
Who proposed to who?
This is like very I do not like surprises, and a public proposal to me is like that is my absolute like state of emergency. So I have made very clear. We like talk to death about getting married, and I was like, we will be very clear on what we're doing. We both went and bought rings together.
Oh,
We like
nice.
set a date, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna propose to each other this date in September. And yeah, we're kind of ridiculous. I took all of the spontaneity out of it, but it was still very beautiful.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, so we proposed to each other. It was in
Aww.
the iCal, so
Yeah, there you go. It was all set
we knew it
up.
was
Yeah.
coming. Yeah.
Okay, wait, really quick, before I move on to Dose of Drama, I have to ask you, were you in Newsies with Mike Feist?
Oh, absolutely.
You
You
were.
know,
Was he
sweet Mike
OG? He was
Feist.
OG.
Yeah, he's OG. OG, like back to paper mill.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm
Yeah.
kind of gagged.
Y'all, he was always so good. And he was one of the Jack Kelly understudies
Oh.
and was so great to go on opposite of. He was just like, you're like, that kid, he's a good little actor and a great voice. And like got hired first as a dancer. That's like the craziest of it all. Like he got cast on his dance ability, and then he just happens to be like an incredible singer and an incredible actor.
Oh my God, Luca
Yeah.
must have seen him and cast him in Challengers because he was like a fansy.
Yeah, total fancy.
Did you see Challengers yet?
I did. It's so good. And I'm so
Oh God.
proud of Mike. He's like, it's weird because I'm like, well, he's not A-list. That's like Mike Feist.
Right.
And now that I see like in my group text, like random gay people who I'm friends with like lusting after him, and I'm like, that's so weird. Like I get it. Yes, he's so handsome, but like he was like 21 when I first worked with him, so
Yeah.
Pictures from that era are recircling like his Newsies days. And I'm like, oh, he's really grown up since then, you know?
yeah, no, he's so good in
Oh,
it.
he's so good. He's a star. He's gonna be, I just read he's gonna be at the Met Gala tonight or whenever that is.
Of
So
course he is. Oh, obsessed. Can't
Yeah.
wait to see who wears.
Incredible. Well, Andrew, it's been so fun chatting with you. You're such a nice guy. The Midwest vibe really emanates from you. After being in the
Birds of a
business for as
feather.
long
Yeah.
since you were, a little kid, you've still maintained such a nice sensibility about you, and it seems like you still really love the industry and creating and being creative. So I really appreciate that about you.
Thank you.
Before we wrap, we do like to end on a dose of drama. This could be a pop culture rec, could be what you're binge watching, music you can't stop listening to, what you're doing tonight, truly anything. Dylan,
Yeah,
do you want to start us off
I
today
do.
with a dose?
There's a new movie out that just came out. It is an Amazon Prime directed. It should be in theaters. It should be the number one movie aside from Challengers. And it is the new Anne Hathaway movie, The Idea of You. It is so good. Have you heard about it or seen it, Andrew?
I've only seen
Okay,
memes,
yeah,
so I'm
listen.
like, I don't know what this movie is, but I've seen a lot of
It's
memes.
good. It's
Oh, you have to
apparently
watch.
a Harry Styles fan fiction book that was like adapted. It's about a woman who like starts
What?
dating like the front man of a boy band. And
Not only a woman, a 40-year-old divorced mom who brings her daughter to Coachella and meets the front man of this One Direction style
right.
group,
Didn't mean to mince
and they
details
fall
there.
in
And her
love.
name is Selene. It's like Solene with like an accent in there somewhere, which Anne Hathaway fully pulls off the name Selene, let me just say. But
Oh my
it is
God.
steamy. It's beautiful. It's about second acts and age gap relationships. And like, it's actually really, really great. And Anne Hathaway devours every scene. And I do think Nicholas Galitzine is emerging as like this, strong leading man, even though none of his movies seem to be going to theaters. They all seem to be like streamers, like Red, White, and Royal Blue. This, that Cinderella he was in with Camila Cabello. Like, it's really weird that he's not like on the big screen yet, but I think that he'll end up there.
Bottoms was.
Bottoms was. That's true. That's true.
Bottoms
I
was.
highly recommend it. It's amazing. And Anne Hathaway, we were never wrong about her. She's incredible.
She is amazing. Okay, well, now that you mentioned Red, White, and Royal Blue, this is the most random dose of drama ever, but I'm feeling dramatic that Taylor Zakhar Perez, who was Nicholas Galitzine's co-star in that movie, hasn't been in anything since that
Yeah, what the
movie. Yeah,
hell?
maybe it's all
That's
in the can, like
crazy.
it's all happening and then it'll all come out, you know?
I hope so.
I love him. He's so hot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's doing like red carpet stuff, and I love to see him rocking a look.
Connor loves him, Andrew. Anytime I'm with Connor, he has a different like celeb crush, like his phone background. And I've seen Taylor Zakhar Perez's background many, many times.
Oh, he is so beautiful.
It's Josh O'Connor right now from.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
He's look at his ears. Those They're ears. So cute. I know. Okay, Andrew, take us home with a dose of drama.
Okay, my dose of drama is the Ripley adaptation on Netflix right now. It's a mini series starring Andrew Scott, who is just the best actor. It's all shot in black and white. The cinematography is incredible. It's, if you've seen the movie Talented Mr. Ripley, it's the same source material. It's very different from the movie. Every single frame is like a piece of art. It's so incredible. Andrew Scott, I recently heard in an interview where he said he never will take a role if it is too similar to another thing he's played, which... he's so good. And in this, you're like, damn it, I thought I had seen everything that man can do. It is so good. Also, Dakota Fanning's in it. Uh-oh. Like, I haven't heard of her for a minute, and she's real great.
Is she the Gwen? Is she the Gwen role?
I highly recommend it. She is, yeah.
I did not expect that. Okay, Connor's watching it. I need to watch it.
It's a way less glamorous version. Like, first of all, I love the original Talented Mr. Ripley. Those four actors, I'm like, Jude Law, Kate Blanchett, Gwyneth Paltrow, and Matt Damon are all at their absolute apex hotness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, they, it is, like, dripping in, like, sex. This one is not at all. Like, I think Ripley, which I've heard skews closer to the book, he's really kind of asexual in this one. And it is not glamorous at all, but it is gripping and suspenseful and beautiful to look at.
So true.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, I loved it too.
Oh, I'm so glad.
That episode where he's covering up for, I don't want to spoil the show. Spoiler coming, where he's covering up for the murder in Italy.
First frame. It's in the first frame of the episode. He kills someone and he's disposing of a body.
That was like the most compelling cover up 60 minutes. I mean, I truly couldn't believe
it. He doesn't say a word.
Nothing. Oh, it was so good. Unreal. And I was like biting my nails watching the screen, like, oh my God, is he going to get... That cat saw a lot, but
that cat.
Anyway, love that red. Wait, I need to know, are you still into the color teal for your filters? Would your Ripley be like a teal filter?
Honestly, it was a prison of my own making. I was like, I know I chose this color, and like, I really, like, I have so, I donated so many clothes in the past year to Goodwill, that it was just like a mountain of teal fabric. Cause I really went in on it. I'm like, this is like a fun branding thing. Like, I could be the teal guy. And like a lot of people bought that preset. It was like a way that I would pay for my health insurance.
Amazing.
Sort of like people using my like teal preset. So no, I really overdosed on that one and couldn't figure out how to get myself out of like the Instagram jail of teal. But I think I've successfully done it.
Now. Oh yeah.
It's much more like true to color.
Yes, there you go, there you go. But I'm like in a mint. I'm like, is this teal? It's like a mint green. I'm like, I didn't do this on purpose, Andrew. Okay?
You didn't want to trigger him.
Well, I just gotta say, this has been so much fun, and we really, really appreciate you doing our show. Like we said, we've been fans for a long time, and this was beyond any wildest dreams of how easy breezy and wonderful. I'd heard you were amazing, but this is great.
Oh, thank you. You boys are an absolute dream. This was such a fun one.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
and
you.
You're the same handle everywhere, right? It's Keenan Blogger.
Keenan Blogger. Yeah, people don't even know what a blogger is anymore.
They don't. You're keeping Blogger relevant.
It'll make its comeback.
It will. And everything comes back around. Everyone should follow you there. You got the chance. If you're in New York till the end of May, you got to see Scarlet Dreams. We'll include all the ticket information and everything. And thank you again. While everyone's following Andrew, they got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. Connor's at Connor McDowell. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Thank you again, Andrew. This was awesome.
My pleasure.
And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.